Hello and welcome to the Outdoor Lives podcast. My name is Mike Rain, author of Nature Snowdonia and the forthcoming Mountain Leader, which is due in spring. This podcast is free to air, ad-free and music-free. You can find out more about me and my workshops and e-learning modules at mikerain.co.uk. This is a different episode to the normal format. It's a slightly unusual episode. We usually talk to experts and grandees of the outdoor world, people of interest to mountain leaders, it might be conservationists, work for the National Park or the National Trust. Today I'm talking to two complete novices. It's a breath of fresh air, a refreshing pair of young people from London. They're in their 30s. They both work as fitness instructors in London, and they've discovered the hills, they've discovered hill walking. So I wanted to ask them how they did that and what it's been like for them. So my guests today are Emily and Bronte. And is not a middle name there. It is two separate people called Bronte and Emily. So let me introduce Bronte and Emily to you. We're talking to them in Betsacoyd in a beautiful little cottage. Bronte and Emily, how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. So I'm Emily. I'm the older of the two, but that age means nothing. And I'm very well today. Thank you, Mike.
And yeah, I'm Bronte. I'm doing really well, thank you. Always good to be in North Wales.
And they're ahead of me by introducing themselves by name there, because we normally have two people on the podcast and it's obvious who's talking. But you'll just have to work it out as you go along today. So let's start then with, if I address a question to Emily, you'll know it's Emily that's talking. Emily, why hill walking? How did you discover hill walking? How did you get into it?
It originated for me back in my 20s when I was working for a water company, and we did a walk for charity. The company had a big charity focus, so we walked the Brecon Beacons in my 20s. I can't remember exactly how old I was. And we'd done the Brecon Beacons, and that was led by a gentleman who could read maps and compasses. So I was just literally walking wherever he told me to go and had complete trust and faith in old Jez at the time, his name was. So yeah, that's how I started.
That's really interesting. So you were introduced through a charity walk.
Yes.
That's happened to quite a few people now. That's not a traditional introduction, which might be through guiding or school or something like that, a charity walk. Was it the same for you, Bronte, or was it Emily who inspired you to go hill walking, Bronte?
I think for me, so I'm based just outside of London, and for us, we're not surrounded with hills. Epping Forest is probably the most outdoor that we have in the Lee Valley. So my good friend Vicky moved to North Wales, to Trevue, and it was coming and visiting Vicky. I've always loved the outdoors, that said, hey, let's take you off some hill walking. And I guess it's progressed from there. You and I have both come up to visit Vicky.
Yeah.
And I think we worked out it's a year to the day that Vicky was working. She sent us off to Ogwin Cottage to walk around the lake. And that was it. Walk around the lake, girls. Follow the stepping stones.
Yeah, the stepping stones around the lake.
We bumped into a lady from Wales. It was in November. She had a pair of shorts on. She'd just dropped the kids off at school. She'd gone and done the Carned Eye. And she said, you can just go up Devil's Kitchen, chuck a left. Not the Carned Eye, sorry. The Glidders. She said, chuck a left, that'll take you on the Glidders. Or chuck a right, and that'll take you on a Garn. And at the time, they were just words, didn't really mean much to us. And off we went up Devil's Kitchen.
And what happened next? We're on the edge of our seat now. Let me just recap there. So you found Summit Park. There's an obvious path. So you park the car, you follow the obvious path.
Yeah.
And you bump into a stranger who says, carry on.
And I'm Emily. I'm thinking, we need to go back around the lake. So we need to start heading down there. And Bronte's eyes were obviously glazing to the left where Devil's Kitchen then ascended. I think we need to go up there, Emily. And I was like, I'm not too sure. Vicky said go around the lake. We then bumped into a stranger who Bronte then proceeded to ask, is Devil's Kitchen up this way? Yes, it is. She then gets a bit inquisitive, and I'm not a no person, so I'm like, yeah, okay, let's do whatever. So we started to climb up, And that's when we were, you know, started to think, is this a smart idea? Is this not?
I mean, we look back now. I mean, we won't go out now unless we've got waterproofs. And it's always a just in case. I think we've ended up watching programs where people have got caught out and you think, well, if only they'd have packed this, or if only they'd have... So now we will not go out without, you know, our waterproofs, more than one down, because we've learned that if a down gets wet, it's saturated and it doesn't do the job. Or if you've not put the waterproof on in time over the down, then the down's wet. And food, we always pack a just in case. We take way much more food than necessary.
Water,
coffee, electrolytes. It's head torch. It's always a just in case, isn't it?
But we learned a lot from that first Devil's Kitchen encounter. So looking back, it was a big learning. As we started to obviously ascend more and more, we realised, do we have time? We don't have enough water. We don't have enough clothing, because the temperature's going to drop when we get to the top. So we had all that in the back of our mind, but we still were, you know, curiosity killed the cat, didn't it?
Yeah.
We couldn't help but just see what was up there.
And it's funny, we look back now at the people that were coming down off Devil's Kitchen, and we now have learnt about, they're called fell runners.
Trail runners.
And we're thinking, why wouldn't this guy help us? And he's kind of got this, you know, smart watch. We now know he was obviously running the mountains. Mm. And he did. We were thinking he wasn't really helpful giving us information. He was obviously going for a time. We had a guy that said, oh, girls, have you got your map and your compass? And have you looked at the time? Because, you know, you're playing with daylight. And we're going, kidders, what? So that's that way. And what? And what's the other one? And don't know. Once we got up and over the top, once you get to that, people kept saying there's it's not a picket fence, it's a stone wall and a ladder. Once you're over that and you kind of follow it up, you'll see the path. And we now realise actually the path to the Glidders, now we know it, we see its path, but as two novice, to us it just...
Yeah, it doesn't look like a path in place.
It's like a loose rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which would be why people would be asking you about the map. But before we go on to there, I love that wonderful naivety. And actually, that isn't that different from people through the years. You know, people have gone and explored. Mm. But you said you watched a couple of programmes and thought, oh, hang on a minute, we better have something spare. Why do you need something spare? And what were those programmes you watched?
The programme is called... Shouldn't be alive, so maybe a little bit extreme. So a poor runner breaking her pelvis in the Grand Canyon is a little bit extreme, but it's from watching those things that you think, well, these things can happen. You know, if you're out walking on your own, you could slip, you could lose signal or battery. And
is this on normal television or is this on YouTube?
This is on, I want to say, Amazon Prime. But yeah, people that have gone out thinking, I'll be back by this time, so I only need this. But, you know, there are certain things that are out of your control. Yeah. We've completely learnt that we'll always check the weather before we go, but that the mountain has its own weather, you know? And it's always a just in case.
Yeah. So you applied those lessons from those American films to what was going on here and thought, hang on a minute, what happens if somebody turns an ankle?
Yes. Also, do we watch a programme about mountain rescue?
We watched the one of the extremists trying to climb, where they had to hang off the side and it was ice in the basket.
Something in the Void.
Touching the Void?
Yes.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Again, a very extreme scenario. But it just helps, you know, you think outside the box, and that this 500 mils of water and my North Face jacket is not just enough when that damp cloud sets in.
At this time where you're learning about hill walking, was there any thought of doing a course, an introductory course to hill walking?
I mean, when we come off the mountains, we like to go to Plaza Brennan for an Aspel.
For a what?
For an Aspel.
Aspel?
Yes.
That's a drink, is it?
Yes, right. It's a cider.
Okay, see, this is Misha my age now, you know, I've never heard of an Aspel cider.
Got to replenish the sugar levels quite quickly, you know.
Excellent, yes.
And so, of course, when we're in there, there are courses. I guess we always sit and think there are a group of women that were clearly doing a map reading. They were being prepared the night before, weren't they?
Yeah.
And we've kind of thought, actually we probably should, if we're going to do anything, it'd be, you know, the map reading. And a lot of people have said, you know, as long as you've got a map and a compass, you'd be fine. We've been caught out whereby we've been in that situation where you're on a mountain and the thick clouds come
Oh,
in.
really?
And you know, you're thinking 2 steps over there, that could be sheer edge, or it could be way down, or it
Where did you experience that?
on the Igan,
Igan,
wasn't it?
yeah.
It was okay going up. We didn't, that was our first walking experience, wasn't it? And I think we came off thinking actually that could have been maybe a different outcome.
The evidence is you got off okay, though.
Yes.
So why, just following the path, or?
No, we used our initiative. We came down the way we went up. So we thought, we don't know what's
Ah.
on the other side, but we know what we've come up. So
Right.
actually, we can visualize that and we know that we can get down that even if
Okay.
it's very slowly and carefully, whereas we have no idea what's the other
What's
side.
forward? So we had planned a cert. Well, we hadn't planned at the time. We were going to do a circular, but we just thought it's not worth it. And it was the mound of rocks,
Yes.
which I think we'd had a conversation where you said,
The
don't always rely on.
Yeah.
And Emily went walking off what we thought was going
Okay.
back, wasn't it? And I've gone, Emily! We came up where that mound of rocks were. We couldn't see anything but cloud and rocks. And you're thinking, she went storm, you know, in that direction.
To a different pile of rocks, or
No,
just
just
to
what
the
I thought
direction.
was
Yeah,
the way we
quite
came up.
disorienting, isn't
It
it,
does,
there in
it
the
does indeed,
clouds?
yeah.
So it's a good job you spotted that, Bronte.
Yes.
Where would you be now if you
That's
hadn't?
it. You have to make landmark references of, okay, that's the way up, and I can see that, you know, around it in case I need to get back down.
And you've mentioned the Devil's Kitchen Glidders, it's Glyndŵr up there, and Aggarwen. Were you still going there because that's where you knew you could park and you knew there was a path? You know, how did you begin to explore new places? What took you on to Aggarwen and Glyndŵr, and have you gone beyond there?
I would probably say yes, because of the security of parking. We
Yeah.
knew that area, we knew what peaks were up there. So, okay, let's explore this area first
Yeah.
because we know this area. But we have ventured off on our own. So, we've then done a Llydyfawr.
Yep.
So, we've then parked in
Nantberis.
Nantberis
Oh,
there.
right, okay.
Deliberately to avoid Ogwen Valley because, was it a bank holiday?
Maybe.
So I think that the more that we've got into walking, the more we've learned we really enjoy being alone up mountains, hence we'll avoid Snowdon. I think initially it was the excitement of we've gone up here and we went on this mountain, but we're not too sure what it was. I fall into these kind of black holes where I'll then start researching and I get kind of fixed. And we're going, it's almost to us at the time, it was, oh, there's a whole new world up there. There's a, and we were. So we know that if we went to the right, we were going, that was Igan, and we knew then that if we went the other way,
They were the glidders.
And then the more we got comfortable with that, the more we've learned, okay, we prefer to climb on our own, or walk on our own. We've been in situations where it's been busier, we don't like it. So then we've started to go, okay, well, what's more further afield? Hence we then.
And that was quite nice, that a Llydyfawr walk, wasn't it? Because we literally found the mountain on our own. We hadn't been told about it by anyone. We looked up routes on all trails, and we found where to park. And then we literally did the whole circular walk. So it went from Llydyfawr, then round the back up to Igan, and then back down again, all on our own. And we were quite proud of ourselves, weren't
Yeah,
we?
yeah.
So yeah, that
I
was
bet you were.
really nice.
F's of V's in Welsh.
Ah,
Valour.
apologies.
It's tricky.
Oh,
No, you've
F
got
is a
to.
V.
Yeah, F's same as a V. You just got to pick these things up as you go along. Where else have you been?
Trafan.
Trafan.
Trevan.
Our friend Vicky took us up Trafan.
Right.
She did very well, very, very well. We got up there and the winds were just
Yeah.
50, 55.
Gosh.
Too windy to jump Sian and Sean, we've been told.
Ah,
Yes.
yes. Very good.
We did the Car Nebai on Sunday. We
We
did.
did.
Ah, right.
Had
Yeah,
a
saw that.
beautiful
Yeah.
day, didn't
Brilliant.
we?
Yeah.
So what
Brilliant.
did we went up, is it Penarolywen?
Very good. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then Carnedd
David.
Dyfed,
Yeah.
and then Carnedd Llywelyn.
Swelling. Very good. So, when I was your age, I would have gone to the library or the bookshop and bought a book with routes in. You haven't done that, have you? You haven't gone and got a guidebook. How have you found out about these routes?
21st century, Mike. Yeah. Downloaded an app called All Trails.
Wow.
yeah, it is good, All Trails. You can download the routes for offline purposes in case you were to lose signal up there, or if you do want to just switch off for the day, you can still access the route. It has been really handy. People can log their routes on there as well, so you don't have to just do the one. There's other routes that people have logged on there as well.
Is there like a quality assurance of the routes? You know, how do you know what's a good route and what's not a good route? How do you know what's a safe route, what's not a safe route?
There is a forum, so people will star. Oh, okay. You give it a bit like TripAdvisor.
Yeah.
People will star, and they will also leave descriptions. They might say that wouldn't advise this for someone first walking, or actually this wasn't too exposed. I'd really recommend this for somebody, you know, that's just getting into walking. I'll tend to, what we find, then do the GPS version so that we can look at the terrain, you can zoom in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will probably go from there over to YouTube. And that's been a real help, is finding people put up videos of what they've walked.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a real way to, I guess, look at the terrain. It helps you visualise. I don't know, posts, and we'd say, oh gosh, that's the post that the girl pointed out in the video. We know that we're on the right path.
Yeah. Visualisation's a big thing, isn't it? I think that's why we stayed in the Ogwin Valley section for a little bit, because we knew that visually. Yeah.
Yes.
Before we then started adventuring. Mm. Yeah.
And All Trails is just a subscription. It's not an expensive thing, is it? You pay.
It's just shy of £30 for the year.
Oh, for the year, yes. Right, okay. Yeah. And that's got all the maps you need and the quality assurance you need. And you check that on YouTube as well. I think that's brilliant, that.
Yeah. And that's not just us novices. So we walked on Sunday with a lady called Maya, I hope she doesn't mind me shouting her out, who's a local here, and she also has All Trails and uses it. And her quotation was, it's well worth the money.
Yeah, it sounds fantastic. Well, I have seen it, I have played with it, but because... For me, as an experienced mountain leader, it doesn't have Ordnance Survey maps on. So you presumably don't know anything about Ordnance Survey maps.
We are shaking our heads for people that can't see us. No.
I'm like, what survey map? What survey do I need to complete?
Yeah, mountain leaders and mountaineer instructors just shivering at the thought of not having an Ordnance Survey map.
Sorry, guys.
So, I think that's quite interesting. So it's the OSM mapping, isn't it? It's called Open Street Mapping. And it is actually like a wiki. You can change it and you can report things that are not right on it. I don't know if you've got involved with that at all. Is that a next level thing as well?
Mm, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, you can. Mm. The people on bikes do that a lot, to say which path is bikeable and which path isn't bikeable. So it's a powerful tool. Mm-hmm. It's a good mapping. And I think somebody of my generation might just feel a little bit trapped with the Ordnance Survey maps because it's all we know.
Yeah.
And therefore we feel you must know it too. But I think the All Trails thing's really interesting, especially with the YouTube. So if you went on a course now, you know what to wear and what to carry.
Mm-hmm.
You've got some idea where to go. You know that things could go wrong and you've got some spare gear. Do you know what to do if something does go wrong? If you come across somebody else who's just stuck the leg down a hole and snapped a bone. Do you know what to do in that case?
I think we both have basic first aid, don't we, with being fitness instructors? But actually, really, no. Definitely
okay.
Not.
Well, I can tell you after the podcast, it's not a big deal. And it doesn't happen very often, does it? I mean, hill walking is really safe, and I would never want to put anybody off by saying it's not safe. But obviously, you need to be able to look after yourself in that situation. So, what's the joy? I don't know if you can describe why, you know, you're from London, you're fitness instructors, you're physically active, you're healthy, I can see that you're exercising your brains by doing extra exams and things, you know. Why do you need the mountains? What is it up there that has turned you on, that has excited you?
I think the question is, what isn't there up there? There's freedom, fresh air, there's challenge. Plenty of times, I thought I was quite confident as a person, but it's completely taken me out of my comfort zone.
Mm.
Getting up that high, I knew I had, you know, something to do with heights that was a bit of a niggle, but I've completely lost myself up there before with a bit of what's it called?
Vertigo.
Vertigo up there.
Bristly Ridge.
When you get up there and that achievement of reaching the top, it's so fulfilling and overwhelming, and when you can see for miles and miles, and the fresh air, being at one with nature, it just makes me want to keep going up there.
It's hard to describe, isn't it? Just filling your lungs with the air up there is brilliant. And looking at the views, it's exciting, isn't it?
And if, I think, do you want to answer that question as well? Because you did quite a powerful post on social media about it, didn't you?
I mean, for me, I'm someone that's on and off battled with my mental health. And I can't quite articulate what it does being on a mountaintop. There is just... I love it when you've no phone signal. And there are... Not that all your worries seem to go away, but it's just... It's really hard to put into words, but there's kind of an openness and a freeness and a... It really does put things into perspective in terms of what is important in life and the things that we sit worrying about on a day-to-day life basis. And you just think, this is just invaluable. You just can't describe it, the vastness. No photos ever does it justice. There's a picture of me on Trevan and you can see Buccleuch at the bottom. And trying to explain, actually, that's not the bay. Just because there's a lake there, that's not the ground.
No.
There's...
When you're on top, you're only halfway. It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're doing well with your Welsh, actually. Bronte, that is.
Thank you.
Good, because it's not easy. You just mentioned something there about the simplicity of it all, and that's something that comes out with quite experienced adventurers who just get in. If you're on a journey, it's walk, eat, sleep. Walk, eat, sleep. That could be climb, bike, paddle. It doesn't matter. It's the activity. Eat, sleep. And it sounds like you're experiencing that sort of thing. Have you thought about staying overnight on the mountain? Is that...
Yes.
Oh, yes. We've seen people with the bigger bags on their backs getting ready to camp out.
I think we need to look into... I don't know if it was yourself or Vicky, but I think that there are places where you're not supposed to camp. But it's something we need to look into, but...
Yeah, it's a tricky one. In England and Wales, you don't have a right to camp. But
right.
If you were camping somewhere without the landowner's permission, they could ask you to move on. But,
okay.
But it's not an offence as such. It's not illegal as such.
Okay.
But it's not as simple as it might be. It is easier in Scotland where you've actually got a right to do it. But there are bothies and there are other places to stop as well, you know. I guess the problem's getting the gear, isn't it? Have you found getting the gear? Have you found it expensive? Or has it just been fun buying new stuff?
I think there are certain pieces of gear. I think, like for you, Emily, footwear, that was a big learning. So we went up Bristly Ridge. We both started in a cheaper pair of boots. I had then invested in a pair of Scarpa boots. I did do quite a bit of research online, in shop. I'd got fitted, and we were talking earlier. It was between a pair of La Sportiva and Scarpa that I was taunt between. And so, you know, there are points whereby there's not necessarily somewhere to put your foot, but you trust in that boot and the grip.
Yeah.
And we, if you want to mention going up Bristly Ridge.
The trauma still haunts me at Bristly Ridge.
it's a serious expedition at Bristly Ridge.
In my £30 Peter Storm boots, bless my heart.
Right.
And got vertigo in Peter Storms, was slipping all over the place, which didn't help. And a chap that came to our rescue, bless him, looked at my feet and said, yeah, if you're going to be on this ridge, you need a better pair of boots.
Wow.
So that was the wake-up call for me. And I got myself a lovely pair of Scarpas, which have literally, I feel like a new woman in them.
She's running down.
And actually the same with my backpack. I always felt like my backpack was pulling me backwards, and Bronte had mentioned it actually looks like it's coming off your back too much.
Oh, yeah.
So for this weekend, I, again, did some research, got a fitting and spent a bit more money than usual on a decent backpack.
Yeah.
And I've, you know, completely noticed the difference in my posture when I'm walking and how the bag actually then helps rather than hinders. So I would advise anyone if you're looking into a bit of equipment and you think, oh, it's a bit too expensive, I know it is only money, but it's well worth the money.
That's really interesting. I think one of the things that might concern qualified people is where you get this information and advice from. So, you know, your rucksack's not quite right. Who tells you which one is right and how to wear it? And the same with the footwear, you know. Have you found you've had lots of different opinions from different people, conflicting opinions, or have you found places that actually they seem really reliable and really trustworthy?
I think mixed. I definitely think there has potentially been a bit of a stigma whereby I've gone, I'm looking for a pair of boots, a new pair of boots. And first thing is kind of what do the trails look like? Mm. And it's very much, you know, if you're just walking up Snowdon, it's a path, you can do that in a pair of trainers.
Yep, yep.
And they assume that we're, you know, our accent, I guess, gives away that we're not from the area. A lot of people do come here for Snowdon. It's a path. And before actually even getting to take the time to get to them, they've asked us a question and then they're answering it before we have.
That's really interesting. Let me just stop you there. Yeah, so you're going in the shop for some footwear and the people in the shop are presuming you've come from London to go up Snowdon.
Yes.
That's fantastic. Because that's not what you're here for, is it?
No. So to say, actually, funny you say that, because I boined up Trafan yesterday and then walked across the Gliders afterwards to, going up Bristol. Oh, and then there's a shift and change, and it's kind of now we can have a conversation. Then you think, I shouldn't have to kind of, you know, it's almost
prove
like
myself.
Name dropping, isn't it? So we've had, can I help? And then the assumption, but no, we did. I met a guy in a shop in Llanberis, wasn't it? He was really quite helpful with
different
boots, was really patient with me trying on.
Yeah.
Because there's part of you as well that feels the pressure that you don't want to keep trying on because I don't want to waste someone's time. But you know, when you think
it's a big purchase.
Yeah. Mm. You're paying out the best part of, you know, the back end of £200-300 for a good pair of boots. Actually, I want them to fit me well. I want to feel sturdy in them. And I want to know that my money is being invested right.
Yeah.
So I think we kind of have that toy up. Because I think 8 boxes of boots later.
Yeah, that's interesting that you went into Llanberis to do that. Was there a reason why you went into Llanberis to do that and not just did that in London?
Initially, I went into a chain.
Yeah.
I had a foot measure. Do you know what it was, actually? I had an old pair of boots, and my soul went. We were in Wales, and I think we had a walk planned, and I'd said, I'm going to have to get some new boots. I cannot go across those mountains with my soul was coming away from the boot.
Yeah, brilliant.
Hence, went into Betters, thinking, actually, it's a touristy area. Everything's going to be marked up anyway. The guy in the shop measured my feet, put me in a boot. I cycle, so generally, you'll go into the shop, try on, and then you'll order online, because... Mm. It's cheaper, so I thought we'll do the same with the boot.
We do like to support smaller businesses as well, though. So if there's an independent shop, we'd rather put our money there than into a chain.
Excellent, that's great to hear.
So, and I kind of felt like the boot that they'd given, I think that they had one boot in there, and I thought, well, do you know what, actually, it is a very well-known chain, and they were suggesting this boot, but I'm not that naive to think the first boot that's on the shop shelf that's in my size is the one for me. So then we researched what other boot shops around here. Scarpa, I'd realised I like a Scarpa, so then we started to look at the retailers locally. We drove over to Bangor, Llanberis. I think that they were an independent shop and they gave us, they were more personable.
V12.
Yes.
Mm. It's no problem giving them big raps because they're a great shop.
Yeah, they good really friends of ours.
So another thing that occurs to me here is that you're doing this together. It seems like you're operating as a team. Is that really important that you sort of spark off each other, support each other? Would you have been able to do this on your own?
Definitely not, I would say. Yeah. And I enjoy like doing it as a team with you because there's so much internal dialogue that goes on. Between the two of you that until you start vocalising it and you're like, oh yeah, at that point I was thinking, oh, this, this and this, and you're like, oh my goodness, I was feeling the same, and sometimes the other person's flagging and you need to pick them up, or at times you'll get very cold very quickly, won't you, so we have to try and wrap you up as quick as you can, but when the wind's blowing, the bag's going everywhere, so you kind of need to pin the bag down and get the down on, and then at times I've you know, you've said to me, put the jacket on now. And I'm like, oh, but I'm not cold yet. And Bronte's like, don't wait till you're cold. Put it on before you get cold.
Brilliant.
Or we should eat now, oh, but I'm not hungry yet. Brilliant. You don't wait till you're hungry. You eat before you get to that point. Oh, you know, so keeping the body warm and fueled. So,
And again, that's not unique. I remember doing the same thing when I started. You know, I think there were 5 of us from school. And we all worked off each other, you know, and span off each other, and some were good at some things and some were better at other things, and so that's pretty normal business. You've been focusing on this small area of northern Snowdonia. How wide are your horizons? Have you thought about other parts of Wales or even the Lake District or Scotland?
Yes.
We have. I think with southern Wales, dare we say it, the heights aren't as high. Mm-hmm. And I think we've learnt we enjoy height. But we have started to look further afield in Scotland. The biggest one with Scotland being, it's a long drive for us. Yeah. So we're thinking of planing it or training it.
Yeah.
But for up, we can drive here. So everything and the kitchen sink goes in the car.
Yeah.
And off we go. So, but going to Scotland, it's the packing the kit, packing of the kit. That's probably what's prevented us going to Scotland so far, but we definitely will. We have started to look further afield, for sure.
Yeah, and have you looked on all trails at routes in Scotland and the lakes? Or has that been... No. Any books inspired you on that one? Or videos, YouTubes?
No, we have friends in Scotland. Being in the fitness industry, we've got friends all over the place.
We've always
got people climbing. Yeah. I had a friend the other day send me some photos of climbs that she'd done because I put a reel up on Instagram. So we're always in communication. Like, we know that they're there.
Yeah.
I suppose this is the first year for us of like many, many more. And also we've got friends in Wales, so we like Wales. We like coming here. It feels like home.
Yeah, Snowdonia is the best, but you've got to go to the other places to appreciate it.
Yes.
How important is social media on these trips?
There is a whole world on social media for walking mountains. It's huge.
Is it positive?
I would say it's very positive.
It's not something that ever occurred. We've done many, many, many a walk and nothing's gone up online.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very much a person. I think you are as well. I like to do it for me. I don't feel the need to...
Oh, I definitely get that impression, though. You're not doing this for the Instagram post, are you?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes I forget to take a photo at the top because I'm just so overwhelmed that I've made it and I'm taking it all in. I get to the bottom and I think, I didn't even take a picture at the top.
Brilliant.
Because I've not had my
phone. Oh, that's so good.
I'm that present.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, and we haven't talked about this, actually. I've been calling it hill walking and you've been agreeing with me. Is it hiking to you or hill walking?
I would call it a hike.
Hike.
What would constitute of a hike?
Well, there's no difference, really. When I started, it was hiking.
Okay.
And then hill walking became the sort of trendy phrase.
Ooh.
But now as we become more Americanized, to be honest, the word hiking is much more common now, so our boy is in the hiking society at university, you know. So hiking seems to be the way to go.
I think hiking sounds more challenging, which is definitely what we're doing. It's not just a hill walk, is it?
There's
many a hill you could go up and walk. That's This isn't just for anyone, you know. You've got to have a level of fitness, a level of knowledge, a bit of savvy, determination.
So we are gonna have some mountain leaders, mountain instructors listen to this. If, before I asked you to talk to them, if you were to go on a course, because you've learned quite a lot, what else would you learn? What would you expect from a course? Why would you bother now?
Ooh.
Or is it just because people keep saying you should go on a course?
I think sometimes it's nice to have that qualification, to know that you've achieved it, you've learned something.
Yeah.
I know that we have learned, but to actually... you know, apply that knowledge in whatever way that it is. I think from what you've said now is actually, if we were to come across someone else that was injured, how could we help them? Because whenever we're up the mountains, we're always interacting with people. Where have you been? Where are you going? Right. How long does it take? Whenever you pass, we ask questions, don't we? Mm-hmm. So I think, to learn actually maybe how to help someone else in crisis, because I've been helped in crisis and my goodness, did it save me.
I think I'm a bit old-fashioned in that, so note-taking, I'm still a pen and paper.
Mm.
I much prefer a pen and paper than jotting down on a laptop or whatever. So there is a part of me that I think doing the map... I just kind of feel, why would you not? Yes, we haven't got lost and we've gone on some brilliant walks with all trails, but I don't know, I think that's quite a nice skill to carry in life as somebody that enjoys hiking.
And then you really wouldn't need your phone.
Yeah.
Well, the joy for us would be using the contours on the old survey map. Have you come across contours?
Do they highlight the the gradient?
The height.
Yeah, yes.
The height and how steep it is.
Yes,
again
from Vicky Banks.
Yeah, they're really good.
Mm.
So, what message would you have for mountain leaders? Oh, mountaineering instructors, or people trying to run courses, or people trying to introduce novices, what are the key things that they should be doing when they're bringing new people out in the hills?
I would say the biggest thing is to educate them as they're going along. Don't just take them off and let them follow you. Talk them through what's going on. And actually, this doesn't look like a path, but we can make a path from this if you look at X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. Just keep talking to them so that they can learn as much as they want to, really.
Sort of sharing the decisions and the thinking as you're going along.
Your thought process.
Things like, I don't know if it sounds too simple to mention, but it took you a long while to say, do you know what, it occurred to me, or the thought had crossed your mind as to whether or not you enjoyed walking that much. Was it as much for you as it was for me? Mm. All because she had this internal battle going along with being unsteady, slipping. She had no idea it was because of a boot. Whereas if somebody had said, you know, months prior, Emily, get yourself a good boot, and you were like, oh my God, coming down that glitter, I'm tripping up behind you. She's almost running down the mountain. And you're like, I cannot believe the difference, how much of a different experience I've had walking in these boots. Mm. Whereas if someone had said from word go, actually, yes, it's an expense, but it's one that you won't regret.
And it could be shoes as well. It could be walking, some really good walking shoes now, as well as walking boots. And if you're mostly on paths, walking shoes are probably okay, aren't they? So it's up to you what you choose. But that's so working out that kit and looking at your kit and saying, this will make a difference, would be really useful, wouldn't it? And then where to go would they... Because they probably would not have suggested you go up Bristol Ridge, the Glittered Eye, or Triven quite so soon in your walking career. But you've got away with all that, haven't you? Hiking career.
I think we're both very inquisitive characters.
Yeah.
We're both wanting to step outside of our comfort zones. Mm-hmm. And just try.
Yeah.
You know, even if you get halfway and then you need to come back down, at least you tried. Like, absolutely. You never know unless you try in life. Take those opportunities.
And you've got that confidence to turn back, which you've done a few times.
We have done that before, yes.
Is that something that was just natural to do?
Yes.
It's a hard decision to make, it really is, when you're that, you know, I'm very headstrong, you know. I'm a very task-driven person. I go from A to B. So if I haven't got to B, it takes me a lot to be like, I really need to turn around because then I haven't achieved getting to B. And it's that internal battle again when actually you need to lose the ego and for my own safety.
Well, that's really interesting because my perception of fitness instructors would be you are pretty driven and you do want to get to the end of the journey. So to actually say no, that's good. I bet that's helped having some to talk it through with.
So that time when we went up Egan, you know, people kept telling us of this circular route and, you know, we'd got to the shelter, that's the peak, and if you keep... And there were a couple that said, oh, there is a ridge on the way back and it's pretty narrow and it's sheer ones to be... And it was kind of this that was niggling, and you were like, no, we've come this far up and we're going. And it was at that point that I said, no, absolutely not. Yeah. We know the route that we've come down. It is not worth it. We cannot see one wrong step in a different direction. And I think that's where we'll bounce off of each other together. Once Bristly Ridge, we'd gone, and then I wanted a rewalk again, and you'd said no. And I guess that's where it works well when you're favoured to have someone that maybe has got a slightly different mindset at that point in time to you.
Where's your next hike?
Weather dependent. We're looking to get out Friday or Saturday of this week, so we're not sure where.
So you're watching the weather forecast?
We are watching the weather, yes.
What apps are you using for the weather?
Exi Weather,
Met Office.
We have now learned we need to look at visibility, as we don't mind getting wet, but you know, if you can see, yes, there'll be preferences, but this time of year, I don't know, there's days where it's sunny but then the top's in cloud. And what was the one that Layla suggested us that... I think she said Mountain Rescue use.
MWIS.
That's the one,
MWIS. And the Met Office do a mountain-specific forecast, which is the information you're talking about with the cloud level.
Yes.
Which you don't get on the normal forecast, and it's really key, isn't it? Not from a safety point of view, but it's a bit dull if there isn't a view, isn't it? If you're walking in the cloud all day.
So well, and great. Again, we don't mind being challenged by weather, but we would probably choose a less challenging route dependent on the weather.
Or certainly a path not to do a path that we don't know, for me anyway.
Yeah. And then if the weather comes down, this is where we would traditionally say that's where you need to use a map and compass, and that's a bit you haven't done. But you have navigated in bad weather, but you retrace your steps, is that right?
Yes.
And that was enough to think, we might need to know a bit more. Mm. Your phone would help you, wouldn't it, in that situation? You follow your dot on your phone.
Yeah, but your phone could lose battery. It could be absolutely torrential rain where your phone then stops working if it gets
too
wet.
Hard to use your phone in the wet, isn't it? Even if it's waterproof, touching the screen's hard, isn't it? Mm. So maybe you could do a little bit of compass work. But it also sounds to me like you're ready for that now. And sometimes we would introduce that too soon. It sounds like you've done some really good learning and you're now at a point where you know what it is you want to know rather than us telling you what you need to know.
Yeah, I suppose so, actually. Yeah.
And maybe there's an element with that. I definitely felt when we very first started walking, there's part of me now that looks back and says, oh my goodness, you two silly girls, I can't believe you did that. So I kind of get it, but there also on the flip side was almost a little bit of patronising. Oh, too young girl, really? What do you want to know? No, you really need to get your map and your compass before you go up there.
Did you come across that on the hills much then? Or?
A little bit.
Yeah.
When we were going up Devil's Kit for the first time, we stopped a guy and we said, is there a lake up there? We were told that there was a lake up there. Yeah. And he kind of screwed up his face and said, no, there's not a lake up there. Can't say to it every single time we go up and over.
There's a lake that doesn't exist.
I go, there's that lake that man said wasn't up here that absolutely is.
Yeah.
And there was an element of condescending, be it that, maybe we were a bit naive. In terms of life skills, though, we're not. We're two people that are just really excited and wanted to explore.
Yeah.
Appreciate that, yes, safety does come in the way, but I think I'm the kind of person that if I feel a bit condescending, I'll resist a little bit more.
And equally, you've had lots of encouragement as well, haven't
yes.
you? You know, people have been helpful and kind.
But we're part of a growth mindset. We listen. We're there to learn. Yeah. We know it all already and you can't tell us. You know, we listen. We're, you know, wide-eyed and ready to go. And I suppose that's where the aspect at the end comes in, is we do actually reflect and debrief.
We have a
debrief and, you know, what went well and what we could have done. So I suppose, we're always reflecting and we grow on each experience.
That's probably a pretty good place to bring things to to an end, and we can reflect on it afterwards. Was there anything else that you'd like to tell people? There doesn't have to be. It's always a tricky question, that one, isn't it?
I mean, would there be anybody listening that's tempted to start hiking?
If
there's any kind of concern, just do it. Do it prepared. Don't go up with 500 millilitres of water. But I guess, as you say, there are some really kind and helpful people. That if you're unsure, you can get some information. Yeah. And do it. It's an entire new world.
We can hear how brilliant it is just in the tone of your voices.
Yeah. Don't be afraid to talk to people when you're up there and take a mixture of sweet and savoury snacks.
Emily and Bronte, diolch yn fawr. Thank you very much.